We're turning to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. This passage could really take all 23 verses at one time, but there's an important break here at verse 14 as the passage transitions to something else. This is a continuation of the theme that we saw at the end of chapter 4, in which we were to consider our eyes and our mouth, our feet, and the ways that we are tempted involve those faculties. And that's what this passage is speaking of. It's speaking of temptation. It's speaking of temptation from the perspective of a son hearing about a woman who might tempt him. But we know from the rest of Scripture that we can broaden this. Jesus talks to us about lust. Jesus talks to us about lust, and other passages talk to us about sexual immorality. This is a wisdom passage. It's in a specific context. It's designed for a specific son to hear, a son who's about to be a prince. But this is a call for us to consider what it is that the path of wisdom keeps us from. And that's really what we're going to hear here, what the path of wisdom keeps you from. So there's an exhortation in verses 1 and 2, the introduction that we've seen before, and then there's an enticement mentioned in verse 3. And then there's the end of following that enticement. So it's really that simple, the enticement and where it leads. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, but thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, you know, by this time that the book of Proverbs speaks as a father speaking to a son. It's a kingly conversation. It's a royal conversation. The father is speaking to the son because he is a prince. He's about to be made king. And we know from the history of redemption that Solomon was in this position, wasn't he? That he had David as his father. And Solomon actually fell into some of these very sins that are described in this passage. And so this is a very concrete passage of God's word. It's very clear to us that there's danger here as we see what happened in the path of Solomon himself. But we're not listening just to Solomon, are we? We're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the words that were given through Solomon, the words that are given in this proverb, the words that are called wisdom. This is wisdom for us. Wisdom in one of these warnings against promiscuity, against sexual immorality. And in the book of Proverbs, you have this woman who appears again and again and again. She's a strange woman. She's someone who's not your wife, but she's also someone who comes from a foreign place, a foreign worldview, a foreign way of approaching life, enticing you to follow her, to enter into her path, to be one with her on her path, leading to destruction. And this woman is contrasted with Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom, whom we've already heard before, wisdom that calls out on the streets, wisdom that points us forward to Jesus Christ. But these two women, the strange woman and Lady Wisdom, are set in contrast to one another in the book of Proverbs. We'll see this again and again. And so we need to hear this very concrete, personal appeal from God's word, speaking to you about the woman who's on the wrong path, so that you might see the way of wisdom more completely. This is, again, as I said, a father speaking to his son, speaking to declare wisdom. But all of us can put it together. All of us have overheard conversations between a parent and a child, and we know when one of the words that was said applies to us. All of us have heard the word of God as Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, and we've heard words that seem to apply to us at particular times. All of us have heard the warnings given to the wicked, and we know sometimes that we're caught, and we're on the path, and we need to turn around. And so wisdom is for all of us. Wisdom is, the book of James says, is given out freely. It's given without without holding back God. We must come to him in faith, trusting him for wisdom. But this is wisdom that comes from God himself. And look at how this wisdom is described. You're told to bow your ear to its understanding, to the understanding of the Father as he speaks. We are listening to God the Father, and we're bowing our ear. We're inclining our ear to turn to hear what he has to say. Because there's only one verse about enticement. Verse 3. The rest of it is all consequences. One simple verse. And so we need to pay attention in case it goes past us too fast. Because see, that's how life happens sometimes. The temptation comes on, it comes on strong, and you're already into following it. Wait, I wasn't ready. No, this is the time to get ready. This is the time to be armed with wisdom. This is the time to bow your ear to understanding. And this is going to help you in two ways. Verse 2 speaks to you of wisdom in what you do and wisdom in how you speak. That thou mayest regard discretion. It has to do with what you do. It has to do with the actions that you take. And that your lips may keep knowledge, that you would know how to speak because of the wisdom that's given to you. You see, it's our actions and our words that need to be governed by wisdom. That's been the theme of Proverbs, especially in chapter 4, as we saw our actions again and again described, the whole path of our life described as a path of wisdom. And so we need to have this wisdom ready, because here comes the enticement. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Sweet. The land of Israel was supposed to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey, a precious, sweet substance. And her words are described as honey. There's perhaps even an allusion to the Song of Solomon that speaks of kisses and honey. Song of Solomon 4:11. This is enticing. This is attractive. It's calling. And it's her speech. You see, we don't understand sometimes that the door to physical adultery sometimes is opened through words. And the book of Proverbs tells us this. The book of Proverbs tells us and helps us to see it. The book of Proverbs helps us to understand. Her lips drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Oil! Oil that was used to keep the lamps lit in the temple. A precious substance. This is someone who seems to have the riches of life. Honey and oil. She's alluring. And she's enticing you. But the book of Proverbs very quickly moves us to see the end. Because you see, we need to see that right away. That's the path of wisdom. That's how wisdom works. You see how this is going to end. You know how Joseph was approached by Potiphar's wife? He didn't only have to get away from her physically, he had to speak to her. He had to have words that kept knowledge. He had to understand that he was sinning against her husband, his superior, and sinning against God. And he spoke those words, and he got out of there. That's the path of wisdom. That's the path of wisdom that's given, because you need to see how those words that drop as a honeycomb change. They become a bitter substance, wormwood, poisonous, famous for being poisonous, bitter, wormwood. And her words are sharp as a two-edged sword. She was enticing before. Her mouth was smoother than oil. Her words dripped honey. They sounded so attractive, so sweet. But then they change. And they bite. And they cut like swords. The end is following her path. Not only does she change, but she's on a path. And you begin to have this path unpacked for you in verse 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. What she is calling you to do is to move away from the path of Lady Wisdom, the path that leads you to Jesus Christ, the path that leads you to draw strength from Jesus Christ, the path that enables you to say no, but instead to follow her down to death. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. She doesn't even know what direction she's going. And if you haven't seen it or read about it or seen it on a movie or seen it in real life, there are people who go from person to person, enticing and changing and never contemplating the fact that they are on the path to death. Never recognizing that they are on this path. They are on the pathway that leads to death. And they don't even know it. That's foolishness. That's blind foolishness. And you see, that's what the path that this woman is on. And the Word of God is helping you, you see, giving you the equipment, the spiritual equipment, the wisdom that you need to see it before the situation rushes upon you. And you find yourself enticed to see the outcome. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So then the exhortation is given again, but it's given again. Now we have some experience behind us. We know exactly what we have encountered, and we know the outcome of it. You see, the Word of God is helping you. It plays out the entire scenario for you. There it is. This is what you're to hear. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Run! Run! You know, some of us are not worried about COVID in this room, okay? But I saw a video that a woman was taking inside a coffee shop of a man. And the man was trying to stand away from the people that were in the coffee shop. And he was standing like this. And then someone walked past him and he tried to move away and he almost tripped and fell. And the employee who was taking the video was laughing at him. Laughing at him because he's so afraid that he won't even go up and get a cup of coffee. But you see, this is something that you ought to fear in this way. This is something that you ought to stay far away from. This is something worth tripping over yourself to get away from. This is something to get away from fast. As fast as you can. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Because there are things that happen as you fall into this particular sin. Now, it's important that we recognize that we live in a day and age where it's not a matter of going over to a person's house and staying away from that particular house. It's right in our living room, isn't it? It's right there on our phones. It's right there in front of us. You don't have to go to the local pharmacy and with embarrassment put some money down and try to buy a magazine. No, it's all streamed right in to your presence. And so we need this wisdom even more. We need these protections even more. Jesus talks about cutting off a hand if it offends you. He's not talking about physically cutting off a hand, but he's talking about radical amputation of things in your life that keep you guarded from this path. Because this is where it ends up. Verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. The Word of God is talking about a situation where someone would actually become indebted to other people, would actually have other people that are seeking some recompense, perhaps the husband, perhaps the family members, perhaps enslaved to someone for a period of time. In any case, these things are taking your wealth. Now it's beginning to cost you financially in your labors in the house of a stranger. And some of you, maybe you don't think that could happen, but you need to pay attention to stories of people that have been caught in adultery, that have lost their jobs, have lost their family life, and things have just spiraled down. And the Word of God is helping you here, helping you to see this path, helping you to see this path ahead. And then the morning comes. The morning of lamenting because of previous sins. The time when you say, I've ruined my life. I have wasted it. I've spent it. Like the prodigal son. I've spent it all. Even the servants in my father's house eat better than I'm eating. Here I am trying to look with admiration upon the things that the pigs are eating in front of me. And the servants in my father's house are eating better. The lamenting comes. And I want you to understand something. The Word of God is telling you about the lament and the mourning for having wasted your life ahead of time. Ahead of time. You see, the whole thing played out. Losing your wealth. The woman turns sharp and bitter against you. You lose your wealth. She's confused on her way. You try to follow her. She doesn't even know where she's going. She's heading down to death. You're giving your honor to others, your years to other people. And finally, verse 12 tells you that after your flesh and your body are consumed, when you're weak and things are falling apart, you finally say, I hated instruction. My heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers. I didn't incline my ear to those that instructed me. But you see, verse 14, at the very end, has a little word of hope. It comes to the very end, the most oppressive and overwhelming thing is to be publicly known as the one who committed this sin. Publicly known and shamed. And yet this passage says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. You see, there's something that happens when we're among the people of God. There's something that happens when we're among the people of God, even when we're ashamed for the things that we have done, the things that we have allowed ourselves to follow, like that prodigal son. in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. People that fear God. People that will point you in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that you, before you go on this path, before any of this stuff happens, you need to understand something about who you are. And it's in the congregation, it's in the assembly, even when you feel shame, that you begin to recognize it. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what the Bible says to you? In such a simple, clear way. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You don't even belong to yourself. That means that if at any point you find yourself along this path, any point that you find yourself along this trail of tears, you have knowledge that there is a place where you can turn around. And you need to turn around as soon as possible. The Word of God makes it very clear. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You see, the prodigal son burst through all of these categories. He was way beyond. Everything was gone. Except the father still loved him. And he went back begging, and the father received him with open arms. And you see, that's a picture of God's love for you. It was declared in John 3:16, when we read it before. This is a pathway to destruction, brothers and sisters. This is a pathway to hell. This is a pathway from which some people never return. They never turn around. And the thing that we always want to do is we want to say, well, I'm okay. God loves me. Therefore, pursue. When in fact, we should be saying the exact opposite. God loves me. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I honor God. Glorify God in my body. This is what we are called to do as believers in Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of seeing the whole thing played out ahead of time. We should have known, you see. We should have known because we saw the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross. We saw how the Lord Jesus Christ took on himself the wrath of God. We saw that it got so bad with the people that God loved, the people that God set apart for salvation, that only Jesus could pay the penalty for them. At the end of the day, only Jesus glorified God in his flesh by resisting to the very end. But because he's done that, you have the great privilege of hearing wisdom. And you have the spiritual resources to follow it, because your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And because this wisdom has been given to you, it lives inside of you by means of the active presence of Jesus Christ who's joined to you. You are one who belongs, body and soul, to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ.